Hey, hey! Welcome to the Bitcoin Matrix. I'm your host, Cedric Youngelman. This episode is brought to you by CrowdHealth. My family and I ditched fiat health insurance for real freedom. No corporate gatekeepers, no endless paperwork, just a community that has your back when you need it most. Join us today at joincrowdhealth.com and use code MATRIX for your first 3 months at just $99 per month and experience freedom from health insurance. The Bitcoin Matrix is also powered by Microseed. Make self-custody effortless and unbreakable. Stamp your seed phrase so tiny, it's practically invisible to the naked eye. Zero hassle, maximum peace of mind. Grab your kit at microseed.io with code MATRIX for a sweet discount. Today, I'm sitting down with Andy Schoonover, founder and CEO of CrowdHealth, the community-powered, revolutionary alternative to insurance that's crowdfunding healthcare for thousands, with zero member bankruptcies and growing Bitcoin circularity built right in. We dive deep into why the health insurance industry is broken at its core, how real medical freedom actually works, and Andy's bold vision for a fully Bitcoin-powered healthcare system where your dollars never touch the fiat machine. This is raw truth on sovereignty, community, and reclaiming the power that was always yours. Strap in. This one's electric. If you're loving the Bitcoin Matrix, please smash that like button and subscribe. Drop a 5-star review and share your favorite episodes with friends and family. Get your ad-free access on the Fountain app. Grab dope merchandise. Sign up for the newsletter or just say hi at thebitcoinmatrix.com. I'm truly grateful for this community and for the builders who sponsor the show. I only partner with companies I use myself and fully believe in. When you support them, you keep the Bitcoin Matrix independent and growing. And now, let's enter the Bitcoin Matrix with my friend Andy Schoonover.
What is real? How do you define real?
You can't jump into cash. Cash is trash. What do? You get out.
Andy, welcome back to the Bitcoin Matrix podcast. How are you?
Thanks. There's no Bitcoin references in there. I'm a passionate advocate of Bitcoin too. So, you know, just try to take down the healthcare system and the financial system all in one shot.
Yeah, well, I see them as parallel verticals and they work hand in hand. Something I've really thought deeply about is the model with CrowdHealth, and we'll get into it, is really taking your healthcare back, sovereignty of your healthcare, and changing the incentives, I think, of the entire ecosystem. But that's, you know, that doesn't really break it down.
It is definitely Bitcoin inspired. There's no doubt about that. You know, decentralized, put it back in the hands of the people. Don't have any centralized authorities telling you what you can and can't do with your healthcare. I mean, I think ultimately that should it be. So there's so many analogies between what, you know, Bitcoin is doing with the fiat system and, you know, what CrowdHealth is doing, what we're going to call the fiat health insurance system, because I think in many ways it's very fiat.
Yeah, well, it limits and it reduces your fiat expenses so you can save more money to put into Bitcoin.
That's right.
And so that's kind of one way I see them as working hand in hand. And it's sort of taking, it helps you then self-fund and crowdfund. So we'll get into this. But, you know, healthcare seems to be one of the hottest topics right now. At Thanksgiving dinner, I found out one of my family members, their healthcare insurance through a government job was going up about $800 per month on top of what they were already paying for coinsurance with their employer, the government employer. And that just kind of threw me back. And so, you know, what is going on right now with sort of this big shift right now in healthcare?
Yeah, I mean, I think that people are, you know, kind of have this general sense of healthcare is really, really complex. You know, and if you get down to kind of first principles of what's going on here, it's that we don't have any market. There's no market forces in healthcare, you know? And so you kind of think about the buyer of healthcare, which is these big health insurance companies. They actually want the price to go up, and people don't really understand that because of government regulation. And so the way that this works is if your premium is $1,000, the health insurance plan can only make $150, 15%. And so, you know, how do they, you know, so they're, how do you get your profit from to go from 150 to, you know, up 10% to 165? Well, your premiums have to go up. And so they actually want prices to go up over time. So that's the buyer of healthcare. The seller of healthcare are these big hospital systems. They clearly want the price to go up. And so, you know, basic economics tells you if the buyer and the seller of a product or service want the price to go up, guess what? The price is going to go up. And so, you know, they have the government basically saying, hey, prices can't go up too much. And so these prices go up 5 or 6 or 7%, enough to get away with it. And the hospital's happy, the insurance company's happy, and there's no market forces driving these prices down. And so that's the problem that we have. And so we've ultimately gotten to this place that these prices have been masked over the last, you know, 15 years by subsidies and then enhanced subsidies during COVID. And then these subsidies are going away and people are like, holy crap, like the healthcare is really expensive. I was like, yeah, it's always been really expensive because, you know, you're just not seeing it. You know, we're paying it as taxpayers. And so nobody's really seeing the real prices of this stuff. And so that's ultimately what we've come to, you know, at the present day, you know, January of 26, is people are, you know, the rubber's finally hitting the road here. You know, people are seeing that the prices of healthcare is really, really crazy when you buy it through insurance. And we can talk about why when you buy it, you did buy it without insurance, it's way less expensive. But, you know, ultimately that's what we're trying to do, is enable people to pay for it directly without having health insurance, to get away, to introduce market forces into the system.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, during that dinner, I found another person, someone who's elderly in the family there. I think Medicare was going up from $300 a month to $375. They were actually considering maybe getting rid of it because it's one of their most expensive bills that they have in retirement.
Yeah. Other than your mortgage, and a lot of times it's more than your mortgage, you know, it's the biggest line item in your budget. I mean, I was blown away. I got a message on LinkedIn, I don't know, last week, I think it was, from this guy in San Francisco who's reaching out to us. And he was like, dude, I've got three kids. It's me, my wife, and three kids. We're all healthy. And I'm paying $6,000 a month for health insurance. This is the worst that I had heard. I mean, I saw one in Atlanta that was $5,000, but $6,000 a month, $72,000. And I think they had like a $10,000 deductible or something like that. I mean, it's like absolutely bonkers that you have to pay, you know, basically the average salary of the United States in health insurance costs. I mean, it's getting really crazy.
Yeah, it's weird. It like really perverts the system, because I find that people want to go to the doctor now because they want to get an ROI on the investment that they're putting into this subscription every year. So it's like, I'm already down bad on the cost. If I'm sick, I might as well go utilize this. And I think it kind of like they go to the doctor more, not because they're sick more, but they want to get a return on all that money they're spending versus Absolutely. Like turning, you know, when you reduce your expenses, it makes you and invest in Bitcoin. It feels like you're turning your healthcare allocation into harder money and changing the way you think about the utilization of these services. Cause it seems like it's more like it's sick care now.
Absolutely. I mean, when you're not paying for something, when you're paying with somebody else's money, it's easy to spend a lot. You know, you're paying in these premiums and then you're basically going to the grocery store with somebody else's credit card. And so one, you don't care about prices. And two, you can utilize this, you know, you might as well go get the Wagyu steak if somebody else is paying for it, right? And so that's what we're doing with healthcare too, is we're buying our healthcare with somebody else's credit card. And so there's no reason to even pay attention to the prices. And it's the only place I can think of, you know, the insurance space is the only place I can think of is where, you know, you don't care about the prices. And so that's clearly a problem. Any economics person can tell you, if you don't care about the prices, then you're just going to consume more, and you're going to consume more at a higher price. And so that's the problem that we have in healthcare right now that we're trying to solve.
Yeah, I was a CFO of a reality television company in New York City. I was a big fan of HSAs. And about 30 people through, you know, 20 employees and their dependents were on our employer-based health plan. And the plan originated with the partners of the company, and they got Cadillac plans when they picked their plans out. And you could see the high, and we had to offer every employee the same plan. Usage was incredibly low. So we're spending incredible gobs of money on healthcare that's not being utilized. And I just switched the company to HSA, where I could literally fund every employee's plan with the savings. And they, you know, but it's still, I met a lot of resistance to sort of just change. But this is when I started thinking more deeply about taking ownership of the spend, how you spend things. So maybe we can get into how crowd health is different.
Yeah, I mean, just really quick on that change thing. It's one of those where, you know, oftentimes, especially when we're in a company, healthcare is owned by the HR group, you know, and mm-hmm. HR groups are not known to take risk. So, you know, back in like the 80s and the early 90s, you know, there's this thing in the tech world that's like, if you buy IBM, you can't get fired. And in the HR world, I think it's like, as long as you buy Blue Cross Blue Shield or Cigna or Aetna or United, you can't get fired. And so there's just no desire to go outside of the norm and try something differently, even though you can save, you know, tens of millions of dollars. I actually have a buddy who owns a very large company, or did own, he IPO'd the company. He's got tens of thousands of people in his company, and he's still fully insured, which means that he takes all the risks. The insurance company takes all the risk. And typically what happens with the company is once you hit about 500 employees, you start owning all of the cost yourself because it just makes economic sense. And this guy, no joke, could have saved about $15 million a year by doing this, but he didn't want to because he didn't want the risk of doing that. And so I'm like, dude, I mean, it's just one of these things where people don't want to try anything different. So a lot of reasons why, you know, similarly, these corporations who are sitting on hundreds of millions of dollars of fiat aren't willing to buy Bitcoin because, you know, they're so afraid of anything different that the status quo is just very, you know, is the easy path. And so when you're running a big software company, you know, you don't want to introduce any risk into the business. So Bitcoin is definitely out. Anything kind of alternative to health insurance is out because they just don't even want to think about it. And so this aversion to risk is really creating havoc, and I think in both the fiat system and the healthcare system.
Health insurance is broken. I know it, you know it. So when open enrollment rolls around and all those health insurance companies start hoping you'll just re-sign, eyes closed, for the same overpriced plan with confusing fine print, it feels like they're betting on your inaction. But we deserve better than that. That's why I started looking for something different for me and my family. Something honest. That's when I found CrowdHealth. With CrowdHealth, it's not about profits. It's about people and community. You get a team that helps negotiate your bills, access to low-cost prescriptions and lab tests, and a list of doctors who don't treat you like a number. And if something major happens, you cover the first $500. Then the crowd steps in to help share the rest. It feels real. It feels like taking care of your health the way it should be. Simple, direct, and human. Thousands of members already say CrowdHealth saved them tens of thousands of dollars over traditional insurance. And with many subsidy programs ending and costs rising, there's never been a more important time to take charge of your healthcare. So this open enrollment, don't sign because you're told to. Sign because you choose to. If you're ready to join a community that looks out for you, give CrowdHealth a try. Join CrowdHealth to get started today for $99 for your first 3 months using code MATRIX at joincrowdhealth.com. CrowdHealth is not insurance. Opt out, take your power back. This is how we win.
Yeah, for sure. I think people are waking up to healthcare being fixed and just not working for them. And it's definitely, and it sort of like how Bitcoin, we want to separate money from state. I think we want to separate healthcare from employers.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a relic of World War II. You know, it's again, you know, the government doing something really stupid that they think is a great idea that ultimately, you know, comes back and bites them in the ass. But, you know, post-World War II, they put a wage freeze on so you couldn't go and get really good talent and pay them more. And so they tried to figure out, like, how else can we get good talent? Well, we'll give them health insurance. And so health insurance started to be a part of employment. And that's been codified now over the last 15 or 20 years. And so now we have health insurance as a part of our employment. And, you know, the sad part of that, one, now is that health insurance is skyrocketing because these employers aren't paying attention. And two, it's, you know, there's a study that came out a couple years ago that said somewhere between 2 and 4 million Americans would go and do something entrepreneurial if they didn't have to worry about health insurance. But they're so shackled to their companies because of health insurance that they just stay in this crappy corporate gig and not go out and do something entrepreneurial, which I think is totally un-American. It stifles innovation. And so that's, you know, the challenge that we had. And the worst thing about Obamacare, probably, maybe one of the worst things, was this tying, this codifying of that tie between your employment and your employer employee. You know, and funny story, Crowd Health has gotten to a place now where the rule is that if you have over 50 employees, you have to provide your employees health insurance. And so we were sitting here in December of last year, so just a month ago, and we had 49 employees. And so if you have 50 employees at the turn of the year, you have to, you know, provide them health insurance. So I cut off all hiring until, you know, 2026, because I don't want to have that, you know, regulatory issue. And so I hired 10 more people in January that I could have hired earlier, but I didn't. And so it's also stifling the ability to give people jobs, because these small businesses don't want to hire people to get over 50, because now you have this huge incremental cost of doing business. You know, and also in essence, what they should do is they say, look, you know, give people their salary, bump it up for what health insurance is costing you, let those people, and do it in some kind of tax efficient way, and then let those people go and buy health insurance, you know, by themselves. You know, let them choose what's right for their family, because the employer is choosing what's right for basically the lowest common denominator of their employees. And so it's a really crappy system that we've gotten ourselves into, kind of all in the name, like the government always says they do, all in the name of consumer protection. We want to protect the people, right? And it's like that funny meme. It's like, I'm the government, I'm here to protect you, or, you know, I'm here to save you, or whatever. And so in essence, what they've done is they just created, you know, catastrophic rising healthcare costs as a result of these stupid regulations.
Yeah, I remember about 15, 20 years ago, people would start really, you know, not maybe bragging, but really sort of sharing that, like, their company, like the job they chose was because how much more they spent on healthcare. The salaries were the same. It was a richer plan. And it didn't consider really whether they would need it or use it. It seemed to psychologically, I think, make people feel like they were eliminating risk in their lives. But I think what a lot of people are feeling now that they see that the system seems to be breaking rapidly is, even on top of the 20, 30, 40,000 in premiums they're already paying, now there's the co-pays, the deductibles, and things that don't even get claims getting denied, which I think is throwing people for, you know, they're just experiencing this more and more and sharing it on social media.
Yeah, we've seen so many viral videos, right, sent over the last couple of months of people who, you know, there's this one guy who's like, calling and saying, oh, you know, I want X, Y, and Z. I think it was a imaging or something. And they're like, oh, okay, you know, that'll be $500. And he's like, okay, great. Well, you know, I'm under to my deductible, so I'm just going to pay it in cash. And she's like, hold on a second. You have a deductible? Does that mean you have insurance? Yeah, I have insurance, but I want to pay in cash. I'm sorry, sir, you have insurance. And so we're going to have to charge you now the full insurance rate, which is like $2,500. It was literally like 5x, you know, if they paid through insurance. And that's just the total craziness of our system right now.
Yeah. So, you know, families are paying what, like $1,000 or $2,000 a month up front. How does Crowd Health work? It's not insurance. So, you know, let's kind of dispel what does that mean? How does it kind of, what's the model?
Yeah, I mean, I went to the Affordable Care Act this year just because I was curious, you know, what would be. I think it was like $1,500 or $1,600 or something like that. And then it was like a $16,000 or $18,000 deductible, which basically means I'm paying $30,000 or $35,000 a year before the insurance company picks up a dime. And, you know, with Crowd Health, I'm paying $660 a month. So, you know, say $7,500 a year. And so I'm saving, you know, gobs of money by doing this. But in essence, what we've tried to do is eliminate all the perverse incentives of healthcare. And it's really hard to do, obviously, but, you know, so instead of paying a premium to your health insurance company, and then the health insurance company, their profit is the difference between the premiums and the claims, right? So all the money they get in for bills and all the money they pay out for bills, that's their profit. So what does that do? It incentivizes them to see the premiums increase and the bills decrease, like to maximize that profit. And so what we did is like, hey, let's just do a subscription fee. You know, you pay us $60 a month to be a part of the community. And so we want more people in the community. We want prices to go down so more people join us. And so the incentives are totally aligned. And then on top of that, we're going to ask you to pay and help somebody directly in the community pay for their healthcare bill. So for me, if I was an individual, I'd pay $60 a month to Crowd Health, and then I would pay up to $140, and that goes directly to Cedric, who as I just heard, you're a CrowdHealth member, which is awesome. You know, it's going directly to Cedric to help you pay for your healthcare bill. You have the cash in hand to pay for that bill. And so you're paying the doctor or the hospital directly, as opposed to them having to bill health insurance. And as a result of paying in cash, you're getting way better prices than health insurance companies do. We just gave you the example of the imaging one that went viral. But what we're finding is if you pay in cash directly, taking out all those middlemen who are all one piece of the action, you're going to get about a 50% better price than United Healthcare is paying for the exact same service. Oftentimes, it's the exact same location, same doctor, same MRI machine, same everything, but you're paying half the price because these doctors, hospitals, surgery centers, whatever, don't have to go through the craziness of, you know, billing. You have to pay somebody for billing. You have to wait for your money. You have to fight with them to get paid. There's a study that came out about a year ago that said that doctors spent about 2 days a week just fighting with health insurance plans to get paid. I mean, I couldn't imagine like fighting with my employer, CrowdHealth, 2 days a week to get paid. Well, I can't actually be productive those 2 days. And so we're giving that time back to the doctors, and therefore they can charge us a lot less as a result of that. So, you know, ultimately what our system is set up to do is enable you to pay your provider directly, as opposed to them having to go and bill health insurance. So that lowers the price. But the other cool part of that too is you no longer have an insurance plan or an employer or a government between you and your doctor. You can now do what is right for your health, as opposed to the doctor having to ask permission from a health insurance company or your employer or whoever to actually provide you care. And so the dynamic totally changes. And I've seen it firsthand where you go into the doctor and he's like, hey, I'm paying you direct. You don't have to get approvals for any of this. Like, let's do what's right for me. And he or she was like, awesome. Like, yeah, let's do this. And I'm going to give you a much better rate for that too, because I don't have to fight with them. So it's just an all around better system when you, as we all know, as Bitcoiners, when you take out all the middlemen, all the rent seekers, and pay directly, as opposed to, you know, all the administrative and bureaucracy associated with those, with that middle layer of people who are just trying to take a piece of the action.
Yeah, for sure. I felt it right away, even more on the softer side of the community and the social aspect. So I signed up. I was all excited. I left corporate America about a year ago. I made the gamble to kind of forego on Cobra. You know, they give that nice little loophole where you could like up to 90 days mail it back in if you need to. But I was like, oh, I'll save that money. I'm starting to like, you know, I'm like trying to figure out how to self-insure. And then you start thinking about maybe I want to mitigate some of this risk. But the idea of joining the community is what really also brought it to another level. We talked about this in the last conversation that when you came on the show the first time, but I experienced it firsthand. So I sign up. And I get, you know, a series of 6 or 7 newsletters from you kind of describing how it's going to go. And for the first time, I found myself reading these. I kind of want to be a good player in the community. And, you know, there's a social score, I think, to it. So you kind of want to be seen as, you know, a good member in standing. So what are the rules of the road? And you kind of let me know right away. It can be brief, so we kind of get through these quickly. But normally from United Healthcare, whatever company, I'm going to delete. I'll figure this out later. Because even if I know the rules of the road, I'm going to have to argue with someone anyway down the road. That's how I just feel. And, you know, if I have a question or whatever, or things aren't going my way. So I'm like, wow, these people are going to work with me. They're on my team. So then you get the app. And the app seems apropos for the modern age. I mean, there's just so much more with doctors that you want to do digitally now. So maybe we'll get into what you could do with the app. But then I was learning about the program where you sort of join the community and now you pay for other people's expenses when it's above 500. And I turned it on auto pay. Mm-hmm. And I thought I would get, you know, emails all day, every day. It was amazing to me that I didn't get a lot of emails. I think only one or two in the few months that I've been a member. But it made me feel more, wow, like I almost felt like the person's pain. I know that the situation, maybe they broke an elbow or, you know, something along these lines. And I'm helping. And there's almost a little bit of pride and sort of satisfaction being part of this. And it's been a wild experience. So maybe
we can talk a little bit. It's a little different.
It's invigorating. I'm taking sovereignty of my health, but I'm not alone.
Yeah. Well, we've got a community of almost 25,000 people now who, if you have something really big happen, You know, in essence, what we do, let's just say your bill is $10,000. We ask you to pay the first $500 of any health event. So if you get cancer and it's 30 doctor visits and 20 imaging visits and 2 surgeries, that's all one health event. So you have to pay $500. Everything beyond that is sent to the community. So we'll send each community member generally one request every month that says, hey, you know, Andy, and we don't say Andy, we say a guy in Texas, you know, broke his arm. Are you willing to help? And then, you know, you can say yes or no manually, or you can just automate it to say yes all the time, which just sounds like you do. And like about 90% of our people just automate it to say yes, so they don't have to go in there and click. And then, you know, if you say yes, then that money comes directly to Andy. So then, you know, I'll ask, well, Crowd Health will ask 95 people for $100 or something like that. And so then Andy has that $9,500 plus my $500 that I'm kicking in. So then I can go and pay for that directly. But it's cool because you know exactly how your money is being used by somebody else. You know, it's not going to United Healthcare, you know, to buy the CEO's private jet. It's going directly to Cedric or Andy or Marty or Saifedean or, you know, all these people, Bitcoiners, like to help them directly. And so it's pretty cool. And I, you know, I get these emails too, because I'm obviously a member. And it's like, I feel good that I'm get to help somebody in North Carolina with cancer, you know, or somebody in Idaho with, you know, whatever, you know, a pregnancy. It feels kind of cool that I get to help somebody directly, and I know exactly where my money is going. So it's a bit different than, you know, your health insurance, obviously. And yeah, we don't bombard you with emails. We just send you one, sometimes two a month, but we max it out at 140. You know, if you're an individual, if you're a family, it's 420. But this month, for example, we're only asking for 65 of that 140 or 195 of your 420 if you're a family. So we only ask for what the community needs. And so if the community is doing really well, then you benefit. And we actually have a program with Fold, so that if you know, as a family, I'm 420, so I only got asked for 195, which means that I have, you know, is that 225, you know, left over this month. We have a program with our Bitcoiners where that can go directly to Fold, get converted into Bitcoin, and so you're actually stacking Bitcoin at the same time with all those excess funds. And so we've got thousands of people in Crowd Health who are doing that, you know, automatically. And so it's a pretty cool way to stack Bitcoin too. One guy was like, yeah, my wife is giving me trouble for all this Bitcoin that I'm stacking, and so I'm going to do this Fold program. So it just, like, you know, it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind. And I know I'm stacking Bitcoin, but she doesn't really know that. And so it's like, I'm like, dude, I'm not getting into your marital issues. You do whatever you want to do. But we have a ton of Bitcoiners in our community. And as you can imagine, like, Bitcoiners are trying to find different ways of doing things, especially when they've been told their entire life, this is the only way of doing it. And so, you know, I think, you know, we have thousands of Bitcoiners as a part of the community, and, you know, including you and Marty and Jimmy Song and Breedlove and Natalie and Saifedean. Like, these are all, you know, people who are a part of our community. That's pretty cool that you can, you know, help with Marty just had a baby. You know, the crowd helped Marty with his baby expenses, which is, I think, pretty cool as a community to help other Bitcoiners.
Yeah, and you know where your money's going. We have Crowd Health babies now, and you're like, wow, I helped with that. And that's part of, with insurance, that's part of it. You are helping a community. That's sort of the basis of the model. And you're pooling risk. And so it's still the same model, but now it's direct. You kind of know where the money's going for, and you know how you're operating within the system, and you know everyone's aligned. Let's maybe talk about negotiating forces and what you guys have learned about that and how you help. Because I think I was even on insurance, and, you know, it was one of those things. I woke up in the middle of the night, my daughter having trouble breathing, and she's coughing, and she was like 6 at the time. Kind of thought it was whooping cough and it would just be okay, but you just don't know. And it's 2:00 in the morning and you're kind of trying to figure out what to do. And I see one emergency room is kind of busy, and the other one's like empty. And it's brand new building out in the middle of nowhere, and like a new, gonna be developed part of town later. They built the emergency room first, standalone, 15 minutes away, zoom over there. You know, it's kind of like going to the dentist with the toothache. By the time we get there, she's pretty much okay. But you're there now.
You're like, ah.
You know? So, you know, I could literally park first spot. There's no other cars in the lot. Go in. They don't even, want to see the paperwork, just go right in right away. You'll fill the paperwork in as we're helping. It's very calm, very nice, very friendly. One doctor on call, one nurse, both take a look at her. Yeah, it's whooping cough. It's no big deal. It's already, the cool air helped. Maybe we got a Tylenol and, you know, you get a bill for $5,000 and maybe insurance covered 600 or something very not close. You know, maybe it was that, or maybe I still had $7,000 to go on the deductible. This was the $5,000 that, and it's just how did, it's just absurd.
It's absurd. And they probably, you know, what these hospitals do is they upcode. And so, you know, your daughter came in with the symptoms of having trouble breathing. And so they will probably max out that code, like the most critical, you know, code, even though she came in and she was doing fine. And so then you get charged the kind of the highest rate possible, as opposed to, you know, what actually happened, which is she took a Tylenol or whatever and was done. And so these hospitals get away with it, unfortunately. And it's a tragedy. I mean, it's one of those things where I think it's like 90% of the bills that we get are coded at the top end of ER, but we also have data that says 80% of the people who go into the ER don't really need to go to the ER. And so it's like, make that math work for me. Like, how does that work? You know, and it's these hospitals who are just, you know, bumping up these rates. And it's like, how, we can't expect you to know that. Like, there's no way for you to know what those rate codes are. And so they make it so opaque that you can't really fight it. And I actually have a funny story where I talked to a woman who was helping these health insurance plans take these really complex code and translate them into what people can actually understand. And so, you know, these explanation of benefits you get in the mail, they're like gibberish. Like you have no idea what it is. And so this company was trying to help these plans making a little more readable. Well, they did it. They implemented. This was a big health plan. And these people were started calling in being like, hey, this never happened to me. You know, like that's not right. Like they were getting, you know, circumcisions for baby girls. And they're like, what? Like, obviously this isn't right. And so the insurance plan actually told the company to stop. And they reversed it back to being opaque because the health insurance plan, that the more information that a consumer of healthcare has, the more questions they have, the more it shows that these insurance plans and these hospitals are doing some crazy things, crazy, you know, math behind the scenes. And they didn't want that out in the open. They didn't want light to shine upon it. And so, you know, it's these games that are happening within our healthcare system to create, you know, the chaos, like I said, that we're currently in.
When it comes to Bitcoin, the rules are simple. Run your own node, hold your own keys, and protect your seed phrase. That's where Microseed comes in. Unlike bulky backups, Microseed is stamped onto a tiny steel washer. Fireproof, waterproof, and so small you can carry it anywhere or hide it in plain sight. Go to microseed.io and use the code MATRIX for a discount on your order.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's absurd and you feel helpless. I remember getting that bill and I remember fighting with them a few times, trying to just delay payment. What do you guys do to sort of manage and help members with costs?
Yeah.
Both maybe for like planned things and non-planned things.
Yeah, I mean, we take a very kind of aggressive approach on helping our members negotiate these bills, you know, both before, you know, these procedures happen and after. So, for example, we had a woman in Austin who tore her ACL. So she went to the ER and they're like, yeah, you tore your ACL. You're going to have to get it, gonna have surgery. And so they, of course, tried to stick her to the in-hospital system orthopedic surgeon. And they quoted her, I think it was $24,000 to repair the ACL. She called us and she's like, I'm so sorry. I just joined Crowd Health. I tore my ACL. I'm going to give you a $24,000 bill. And we said, hey, can we, you know, look around? And we actually have a great doctor in Austin who does a lot of the joints for the University of Texas Athletic Department. And he's like, look, you know, if you pay me at the point of care, I'll do it for $12,000. So the bill got cut in half. Just by us saying, hey, we have an alternative for you. It's a really awesome alternative. It was probably a better surgeon than the one you're going to go to, and it's way less. And so we help people navigate that. And actually, you can go to our app, and you should do this after this, and say, hey, what does a, you know, I don't know, colonoscopy or whatever cost in your area, and it will pull up all the local places that you can get a colonoscopy in your area. It'll give you the price. We're going to start adding quality data to it. So the people who actually went to that person to get a colonoscopy, you'll see from other crowd members how it went. Like, is this a great doctor? Or is this a crappy doctor? And so you have that data now at your fingertips so that you can make the right decision on that. So that's kind of a pre-negotiation. But if you go to the ER, like you did with your, it sounds like your daughter or whoever, you know, basically what we tell people is, and regardless of whether you're on a crowd health, do not pay the bill at the hospital. Do not get these care credits. You know, they'll want to say, hey, you know, your bill is $20,000, but great news, you can just get this care credit, which basically you're now $20,000 in debt. And you have to pay this, you know, financing company. And they're trying to stick this on patients. Do not do any of that in the hospital. What I suggest that you do is you wait for the bills. And then if you're a crowd health member, you just take a picture of that bill, you upload it to us. We have a negotiations team, including attorneys, who will then call the hospital on your behalf and negotiate that bill for you. And we're seeing 60, 70, 80%, you know, discounts on these things just by us allowing us to go and negotiate this for you. We might later in the year open this up to people outside of crowd health. Right now, it's just opened up to people in crowd health. But if you're not in crowd health, you know, you can negotiate these bills down, and don't let the hospitals tell you that you can't. And so we're doing pretty aggressive negotiations on the back end to make sure you get a fair price.
Well, that's awesome. You know, I hate going to the doctor. When I need to, I'll go, and I respect doctors, and I try to vet. You know, I do my own research. We want to manage your care, though, and we're trying to own our care more and our outcomes and our results and just monitor it. So how about lab tests and wellness checks, Zoom calls and mental health?
Yeah, I mean, lab tests are another one where, you know, as a part of crowd health, you get $300 per year that you get to spend on a wellness visit. And so, you know, if your wife goes to the gynecologist every year, or your kids go to the pediatrician, or you can use it for dental or vision. I use it for labs. You know, in my labs, you know, depending upon so I go and get labs. I get it twice a year, but, you know, crowd health pays, or the crowd pays for one of those. I'm seeing like 70 or 80% off of lab costs versus billing it through health insurance. And that's, again, you're paying directly. We're about to actually launch a new website here probably in the next couple of weeks that actually gives people access to low cost labs in their area. So you can go, you can type in your zip code, you can tell us what labs you want. And then we're gonna look at all of the providers of those labs and say, hey, here's the best place to go and get your labs for the labs that you've asked for. And so it's kind of like a search engine for labs. And so we're finding that it's so much less expensive if you go around the insurance company as opposed to like paying these labs directly. And it's 70, 80, 90% less. It's significant. We're seeing that in imaging as well. You know, these imaging centers, do not go to the hospital to get imaging done. You'll pay an egregious amount. There's these imaging centers. It's the same equipment. You know, a lot of times it's the same people reading your image. And these things are 75 or 80% less expensive too than doing these in the hospital, especially if you pay directly. So we're going to open that up to people too. So there's lots of options to get healthcare much, much, much less expensive, you know, and people think healthcare is so expensive because you're paying through your insurance company, and they inflate prices significantly because of the perverse incentives that we talked about previously. So, you know, we help people find those lower cost providers. And the weird thing with healthcare is that oftentimes the lower cost providers are actually the better providers. You know, if you want to go and get the best car in the world and you want to buy a Ferrari, you know, Ferrari is going to be a much higher quality than your Hyundai or whatever. In healthcare, it's almost the flip, because a lot of these doctors who will take lower prices are independent doctors. They're not a part of these big hospital systems, and they don't have hospital systems to filter them data or to funnel them data, or excuse me, patients. They don't have these systems to funnel them patients. So they have to be really good, because they have to source their own patients. And if you can source your own patients, it means you're really good. And so these doctors tend to be really good and way less expensive. And the other thing too is they're doing knee replacements or whatever all day long, you know? And so would you prefer to go to a doctor that does 2 knee replacements a month, or would you prefer to go to a doctor who does 4 knee replacements a day? And if you do 4 knee replacements a day, you can do it way cheaper than if you're doing 4 a month. So there's just economies of scale for some of these doctors that can do it a lot less expensive, and therefore they're way better at it. So many reasons to get outside to exit the health insurance system.
Yeah, the better doctors, they actually want to practice medicine and healthcare. And they don't, you know, you hear that it's like 3 billers per doctor. And they don't want to spend 2 days a week coding or working with the billers and managing billers. Maybe with the app you're building, or the website, I think you mentioned, is that for everyone, non-CrowdHealth members as well?
And, yeah, we're going to open it up to non CrowdHealth members to give them access.
Maybe you could do 2 huge favors for me there. Maybe you could, we could rate the labs maybe. Because I find some of these labs don't have the best performance of, you know, finding the vein or doing the draw the appropriate way or having more hiccups than other labs. Maybe there's that aspect. Maybe some labs are better than others. And one thing I really think get enough education is side effects of procedures doctors ask you to take. So they say, you know, this looks like it could be XYZ. They could even then come back 3 weeks later. They're like, look, it's definitely not XYZ, but we should still do the test. And I have family and friends who might consider taking the test. And it's like, that test has side effects.
Yeah, 100%. Look, I think this is all a product, again, of, you know, governmental intervention. Because in essence, what the doctors have to do now is if you go to a primary care doctor, I think the latest I saw was like 10 minutes. They get 10 minutes with you. Which means that they don't get to talk to you about your health, what you're eating. They don't get to talk to you about how you're exercising, how you're sleeping, you know, all these lifestyle issues. And so therefore they have to address the symptoms. And the easiest way for them to address the symptoms are medications. And so it's a pharma first type of system that we're currently a part of. And I think that's just a product of, you know, being another fiat system. And, you know, what we're trying to get our members to do is like, no, go to some of these other doctors, the independent doctors, integrative, holistic, naturopathic doctors who are actually trying to get to the root cause of what's going on with you. So you don't have to deal with this the rest of your life. You know, what is a symptom now is going to be a chronic disease in 20 years, you know? And so let's figure it out now. And so given your cash pay, by the way, health insurance companies, they don't pay for any of these doctors. You know, they don't pay for integrative or naturopathic or holistic doctors. And so you're stuck into this kind of, you know, pharma first system. And, you know, that's, I think, why, you know, 88% of us are metabolically unhealthy, because nobody's willing to kind of go a little bit deeper and figure out like what is actually going on with our bodies through our lifestyle choices. So, man, I could go on for hours about this, but there's so much wrong with this healthcare system that we have. And it's mostly because of government intervention, unfortunately.
Yeah. Let's definitely try to separate government and employer from healthcare. What about I don't want to go to the doctor, but if I have to go, I don't want to necessarily drive there, figure out where they are and be on their terms. What about with the app? Can I zoom into the doctor? How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite parts is as a part of CrowdHealth, you get unlimited virtual primary care and unlimited virtual urgent care. So right now, my primary care doc is through CrowdHealth via this, you know, this app. And, you know, I pay for it up front, but then you can submit it to the community to get you paid for it. And that's not subject to that $500. And so it's just easy for me because, like you, I don't want to go into a doctor's office. Like the last thing I want to do is sit in the lobby of a doctor's office with a bunch of sick people. You know, take off half a day of work basically to do this. And so I just see my virtual primary care doc over, you know, this a video call, and, you know, he or she can do 90% of what they can do in the office, and anything that they can't do in the office. If I have to go get labs or whatever, then I go and get some labs. I actually have a phlebotomist come to my house or my work and take my blood at my office or work so I don't have to leave. And it cost me an extra, I think, $65 or something like that to do it, but it's worth it to me. So I don't have to take, you know, the time out of my day to do it. And so I think most of this healthcare can be done remotely, and it can be done through our app. And it's a really cool way of doing things. I mean, one specific example through the virtual urgent care is, you know, I got little kids, and so they get in trouble sometimes. And my daughter was jumping on her bed and fell off her bed and whacked her head. And she started talking a little bit weird. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, of course you jump to the extreme like you did with your daughter, right? You jump to the extreme like, oh my gosh, something's going on with her. And so I just typed up the virtual urgent care, got them, I think within 90 seconds. And she was talking to my daughter. And then she was telling us, because we're trying to decide, like my wife was basically out the door going to the ER, right? And I was like, I don't want to spend 5 hours in an ER and get billed $10,000 and all this kind of stuff. And so the doctor on the urgent care is like, look, ask her these five questions. And it was like, what's your name? What's your birthday? You know, that kind of stuff. And if she can answer those questions, you're fine. And if she can't answer those questions, then get to an ER. And we're like, great. So, you know, for the next 2 hours, every 15 minutes, we asked her these questions. She could answer them. And she had like a mild concussion. You know, it wasn't a brain bleed or anything like that. It cost $129. I submitted that to the community and got paid. Yeah, you know, got funded, as opposed to a $10,000 emergency room visit that would have taken, you know, all night to deal with. And so I think people just need to realize that there are alternative ways of doing this that are way easier, way less time consuming, and way less expensive. And so we give all these tools to people. In essence, what we're trying to do is like, we want to give people the tools to live uninsured without insurance. And so those are the tools we provide you in our app, and they work, you know, really, really well. You can do that on mental health too. So if you need to talk to somebody about mental health, you can go on our app and talk to a therapist on our app. And again, unlimited number of times. So, you know, don't go to counseling, use it through the Crowd Health app. It's fully fundable by the community. And so we're trying to provide tools for these folks to kind of live without having health insurance.
Yeah. And I think it's really key to understand. I mean, I know technically this is not health insurance, but it's really giving the same function of being in a group, an association, and pooling risk and bringing, you know, it's re-incentivizing the system or incentivizing it to actually be helpful to you in terms of your allies want to save you money and directionally are on the same team.
Yeah.
So you're not alone, and the people, you know, sometimes you're not alone with United Healthcare, but you might be against them.
Yeah. Well, what do you do when you go to the ER? You went to the ER. You're probably like, man, now I got to fight with the health insurance company to 100%. Get this paid. You know, and it's like for us, it's like,
job.
No, we're going to fight with you to get this paid.
Right.
We're on your team as opposed to fighting against you. And
plus, you guys are getting more reps in. You guys are learning and cataloging all that knowledge, and have people who are like on the team who are like every day, like, how can I help?
Yep.
It's like when I go to, I was a professional corporate accounting. I consulted to Fortune 500 companies and startups and all these things, but I had an accountant for taxes. I wasn't well versed. And that guy was like so amped to do tax accounting. Like, we just saved $800. This is the best day ever. We could do this all day. I mean, this was what he loved to do. And you want to be aligned with people who love what they do and want to help you and not, you know, fake help you and really help the other team.
Well, I think you made a really good point, which is we're logging this knowledge. And so we're getting better at it. And which, you know, we're seeing health insurance prices from 25 to 26 go up between 20 and 100%. I mean, depending upon what plan you have. Our price for our members from 2024 to 2025 was down 11%. We started in 2021, and our prices now in 2026 are lower than they were in 2021. And so, you know, one, the community is growing, so that helps. But two is we're logging all of this data that we have so that, you know, as more bills come in and more cash prices come in, we're logging that, we're putting it in a database, we're then giving that data, our members access to that data. So you know what a great primary care doc should charge in, you know, South Florida or wherever, you know, in Austin. And so people are then going to those doctors who are then not going to send you to the really expensive hospital system doctors. They're going to send you to the best cardiologist in town or whatever. And so we're just getting better at getting our members to really great docs at fair prices. And as such, our prices are going down over time. You know, I kind of joke, and I think Bitcoiners get this, is I think healthcare should be deflationary, not inflationary. All the other services that we get, you know, you probably have seen that, and you may have even posted it. There's this graph that shows the cost of goods over the last 20 years, inflation, and, you know, everything that the government touches is like wickedly high. It's like 2, 3, 4x inflation, and that's you know, medical services, hospital services, education, you know, where everything that the government doesn't touch, electronics, you know, all these kinds of things are going down. Everything that the government does touch are going up. And healthcare are the top two things. I think it's hospital. They broke it down between like medical services and hospital services. I don't know the difference between the two, but those were the highest increasing things. So, you know, I think healthcare should be deflationary. I think we're well on our way to get there.
So I guess with the primary care and the urgent care, do I have to sign up for that before and get started? Or is that something you just access as needed? I'm assuming you have to like figure out who your primary care doctor is and then book an appointment. So I probably have to go back on the app and kind of work on that. What about mental health?
Yeah, I mean, this unlimited amount of kind of mental health therapy, talk therapy is available. And then we also have kind of inpatient mental health. So if something goes totally awry with, you know, with your mental health, then that's also eligible. You know, we aren't getting into like the SSRIs and things like that, because I think there's so much craziness out there that, and candidly, the crowd doesn't particularly want to pay for, you know, SSRI medications and things like that. So if, you know, if you do have a mental health condition and you are taking some of those medications, we may not be the right, you know, right avenue for you. Although we can probably help you get those medications at significantly less than what you're currently paying through your health insurance plan. So that's the other thing is, you know, we had a member who had cancer. I think she had like non-Hodgkin's lymphoma or something. I might be wrong, but her medication was going to be $40,000 a month. And we went directly to the pharmaceutical company, negotiated with them and got it for $2,500 a month. And so, you know, there's a way to get these meds for significantly less too, that we've gotten way better at over the last few years. And so, you know, our members are getting meds way less than health insurance plans are getting those meds for.
I mean, people, I think, just have to start running the numbers. I think about my family member whose healthcare went up $800 per month, and he can insure his whole family with three kids for less, and not insure. He can join CrowdHealth and pay less than that, but 10% less than that per month, and take ownership of their health, take ownership of their savings. And I think there's the opportunity to bring this to your employers and say, can we make a deal here? You know, if you're paying 30 to 50, 60, 70,000 per year on my behalf, maybe we can both save money.
Well, the average family on an employer is about $26,000 a year. CrowdHealth is max seven. I only paid six last year because the crowd was doing so well. So there's a $14,000 delta there that we've had a lot of members go back and be like, look, why don't you give me $6,000 or $7,000 more of salary? I can then use that to go and buy CrowdHealth, and you guys are benefiting because you're not paying that extra $14,000 for my healthcare. It's a win-win scenario. And a lot of small companies will do this. I mean, if you go to General Electric or something like that, they probably won't do it, but because they're so risk averse. But with some of these small companies, they're like, yeah, I'll take that deal. And so we've had a lot of members go and do that.
And I think that's very, you know, intriguing to small business owners. Just do the math that you get to take the 14K, if that's the numbers you're working with, and invest in or save in Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Or, you know, pay for a Sweet 16 or, you know,
sure,
a family trip, whatever it might be. But or just start stacking for, you know, uncertainties. And if you need the money, it's there for you. And if you start saving in Bitcoin, it starts to multiply over long periods of time. Not financial advice. Well, maybe talking about, you know, finding the right crowd for you. You know, part of this is people are self-selecting in. You get the power and the strength and the numbers. You guys are, you know, growing leaps and bounds. People are into this, and you're taking, you know, you're joining other like-minded folks. But maybe there's, you know, some people that it's not right for. Right now, I don't think you accept smokers, and sort of obesity, I think, is an issue.
Yeah.
And, you know, I definitely want to be careful with these issues. What are maybe the long-term thinking about this? And I'll just play devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. You know, some people say that nicotine and, you know, obviously rolled cigarettes and how they're rolled and what's in them, people could be carcinogens besides the nicotine. But some people say nicotine could be a super drug or, you know, beneficial to people's health. And, you know, maybe people who are overweight or obese, they want to get healthy and, well, there you go. So I, you know, maybe we can out, like, I guess you can chew it and not, you know, imbibe the other way.
It's more the tobacco than it is the nicotine. So, you know, I think the thing issue with smokers is, you know, we ultimately, what we don't want is for other people to have to pay for your bad lifestyle habits. you know, and I just don't think it's fair. So if you're a smoker, like clearly you have a significant increase in cardiovascular disease, a significant increase in, you know, lung cancer and other cancers as well. And it's, I just don't want people to have, I don't want to pay for that, you know, for somebody else who does that. And I don't think our crowd does either. And so we could do something where we could say, hey, you know, look, you can join, but these things aren't eligible. But then I also don't want people to like join and then get lung cancer, which is a $1 million deal, and then not have, you know, some kind of help with that because they don't have health insurance, crowd health won't be. And so they end up in bankruptcy because of this. Like, that's not what I want either. You know, when I was starting the company, I was doing some research on this, and somewhere between 200 and 250,000 families go bankrupt every year due to a medical event, even though they have health insurance. So they have health insurance and they're still going bankrupt. And I was like, man, my goal is zero people in crowd health go bankrupt due to a medical event. And so far, we're almost 5 years in, zero people have gone bankrupt due to a medical event. And I want to keep it that way. So, I mean, I could make all these rules and things to allow some as well. Like, I just ultimately, you're just trying to get cute with it. And so I prefer to be very explicit in our rules up front so that people don't get surprised, you know, along the way. You know, the other thing is 65 and older, we can't do for Medicare reasons. There's some regulatory reasons there, so we can't do 65 and over. We're working on some of these things. But, you know, ultimately, yeah, I mean, we have a self-selecting group in. We've got a bit of a younger group in. I think younger people are a little less risk-averse than the older folks. We got a lot of single people because single people are less risk-averse than people who have families for obvious reasons. You know, but I would say that we're getting way more families now than single people because we've shown that we can get these bills paid. And so, yeah, we've got a group of people that self-select in and there tend to be, you know, pretty healthy folks. And so do you want to be in a group of people funding each other's healthcare expenses that are healthy or unhealthy? You know, we prefer the healthy ones. With that said, I think we're going to expand this year a little bit. We're probably going to announce a diabetes program in the next probably month or two. You know, 25 cents of every dollar is going to people with diabetes. And, you know, I think most of us, especially in the Bitcoin community, know that if you have type 2 diabetes, which is a lifestyle issue, that can be reversed. And I think the medical industrial complex is telling people that once you have diabetes, you'll always have diabetes. And I think that, you know, ultimately what we're going to do is say, hey, if you have diabetes, type 2 diabetes, you can join the crowd. You're going to pay a little bit more. You got to be a part of a program to eliminate your diabetes. And once you do that, then you can kind of come back down to the general crowd health rate. But what we want to do is, you know, invite more people into the community, show them the way to get healthy. And I think that's a way that we can have a significant positive impact on our healthcare system. I mean, diabetes has gone from 1% of the population in the 1970s to 10% of the population in the 2020s. And that's primarily type 2 diabetes, and it's all lifestyle related. So, man, imagine, you know, 25 cents of every dollar is going to diabetes and you can, you know, get rid of type 2 diabetes, what impact that would have on our system. And it's pretty significant.
What about AI? How do you see that? Has that impacted your business? And maybe how do you see it impacting healthcare?
Yeah, we use some AI to help us with some of our doctor recommendations. You know, so right now you can go into your app and you can say, hey, find me a really great place in Austin, Texas. And we have some, you know, AI that kind of scours our, you know, our databases and all of our information and things like that and can get you, you know, a really great doctor based upon, you know, your lifestyle choices. And, you know, we can tell you if this doctor is amenable to kind of a high protein diet. Maybe some doctors aren't and things like that. So we're utilizing AI in that way. I mean, I think ultimately, you know, what I want, and I'm not saying crowd health is going this way, but I want is I want to be able to, you know, import all of my medical data, all of my labs, everything. And then I want AI to basically say, hey, I see everything that you have here. Here are some things to think about. I want to import my lifestyle choices and my, you know, workout choices and all that kind of stuff so I can have almost like an AI doctor, you know, help me. And then I can base that AI on the findings of a specific doctor that I think I really like, you know. So, you know, these all these doctors on the internet who are telling you, you can't have high cholesterol. High cholesterol is bad. So you got to have these statins and all these kinds of things. And there's other doctors who say, well, you know, I don't really believe that. Here are some other things you can do in lifestyle. So I'd like to take all my medical information and then show it to an AI version of the doctor that I think I'm more in line with under my worldview, so I can get some feedback on that. And that's ultimately what I want. Now, you know, can crowd health do that? I'm not sure, but I think, you know, directionally, that's where we'd like to go, is to, you know, enable you to have your own doctor, you know, based upon your own information, as opposed to, you know, a random doctor down the street that you have no idea what their kind of education is, their worldview is. And look, I think lifestyle choices is 90% of the game. And I don't think that the normal primary care doctor is paying attention to that stuff. And so I want to put all that stuff into an AI doctor that does pay attention to that stuff and can tell me, you know, what kind of path I should be going down based upon the inputs that I give it. You know, and some people have privacy data, you know, privacy related issues with that and things like that. So if we could do that in a way that keeps this data totally private and it's just yours, I think that could be a really interesting scenario. You know, I think that's what primary care doctors should be doing and are not doing. And therefore, I think much of primary care could be replaced with an AI version of a primary care doc that could be helpful.
Well, Andy, I just want to say, you know, we're really thankful for you. I don't know if you know we're thankful. My family, I'm sure other Crowd Health members, you know, you're helping us take our power back and our sovereignty back over our health, something which I've been trying to do for 20 years. And, you know, it's great to have an ally like you on the journey. I'll leave it to you. Maybe you could tell us what the vision is for 2026 for Crowd Health and where people can go and sign up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if this is 2026, but it's what gets me most excited. You know, I'm a Bitcoiner at heart. I'm kind of doing this healthcare thing because I feel like the higher power is calling me to do it. You know, and ultimately, I want, you know, I'm a big fan of Bitcoin circularity because I think that's ultimately the only way in which our country is going to survive, candidly. You know, and I think that I'm trying to create volume so that I can go and talk to these big hospital systems and say, hey, you need to accept Bitcoin. And then instead of me and Cedric funding each other with fiat, I want to fund Cedric with Bitcoin. And then you can use that Bitcoin to then go and pay the hospital. And so we truly get Bitcoin circularity within healthcare. I'm actually talking to one of the top 10 largest hospital systems right now in depth about accepting Bitcoin. And so that's ultimately my goals. I'd love to be able to have, you know, a host of doctors and hospital systems that will accept Bitcoin. I want our members to start paying each other in Bitcoin. We've already got the foundation lined up. It already works. The system works. We built it on Lightning. And so it works. I just got to get the volume of Bitcoiners to then drive demand towards some of these hospitals and providers to say, hey, accept Bitcoin. Because the bigger group I have, the bigger crowd I have, the more power I have to go to these hospitals and say, accept Bitcoin. So, you know, my ultimate vision is, you know, I'd love to have Bitcoin circularity within healthcare. And given that is a huge line item on our budget, if we can replace that line item by, you know, that fiat line item right now and turn it to a Bitcoin line item, I'm not asking to you to take your stack and pay that. I'm asking you to use less fiat, more Bitcoin in our exchanges. And I think we can do that in healthcare. And so that's what my ultimate vision. That's what I'd love to do, is just a Bitcoiner at heart to see that happen. So I need more and more Bitcoiners to join the community so that we can make that happen.
I love that. I mean, we have Bitcoin families. We should have Bitcoin doctors, providers, Bitcoin hospitals, Bitcoin dentists, Bitcoin doulas and midwives, I think would be wonderfully received.
Amen.
This has been so dope. Use the code MATRIX and, you know, you get 3 months at $99 per month and you could join the community now and get started.
Yeah, join crowdhealth.com. And if you aren't following us on X or Instagram or, you know, whatever your favorite social media platform is, it's all at Join Crowd Health are our handles. So we'd love for you to join us there too. So, you know, man, thanks for all your support. Thanks for joining the community and, you know, fired up about getting more Bitcoiners involved.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Andy. And thank you for supporting the show. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Bitcoin Matrix. If you enjoyed the conversation, don't forget to like, subscribe, and drop a comment below with any questions or thoughts you may have. We'd love to hear from you. You can support the show by checking out our sponsors and affiliate links in the description. It helps keep bringing you great content while connecting you with awesome products that I believe in. Share this episode with your friends, family, or anyone curious about Bitcoin. And let's keep growing this community together. Stay curious, keep stacking, and I'll catch you in the next one.